I will be speaking on the scientific evidence-based medicine of ceramide and integrated skincare. In the first part of my presentation, I will focus on the use of ceramide-dominant skincare products managing dry, sensitive skin disorders. So what is the role of ceramides and other lipids in the skin? They form a permeability barrier in the stratum corneum, prevent excessive water loss, prevent invasion of harmful substances from the environment. So ceramides synthesized in the epidermis play a critical role in the formation and function of the stratum corneum permeability barrier. This figure shows the epidermis formed by four different layers, the uppermost being the stratum corneum. And the stratum corneum is composed of corneocytes that's embedded in lipid matrix. The lipids in the stratum corneum is made up largely by ceramides, followed by cholesterol and free fatty acids. And there are smaller quantities of photolipids and cholesterol sulfate. So what happens is these lipids are arranged in multiple bilayers called lamellae between the corneocytes. So the corneocytes embedded in the lipid matrix functions as a permeability barrier. So how do ceramides get involved in the development of atopic dermatitis? Ceramides together with other lipids help create and maintain an optimal skin barrier function. It is known that there are deficiency and abnormalities of ceramide in the stratum corneum in atopic dermatitis. And these are essential etiological factors for the dry and barren dysfunctional skin of patients with atopic dermatitis. The composition of free fatty acids is also altered in atopic dermatitis. So as such, a ceramide-enriched emollient can then play a role in helping to restore normal barrier function in atopic dermatitis. So it really acts like as a barrier repair agent. So are there any differences between ceramide-dominant emollients and ordinary moisturizers? Are ceramide-dominant emollients actually more beneficial for atopic dermatitis skin? So you see, conventional moisturizers such as occlusive moisturizers or humectants, they keep the skin hydrated, but they do not address the underlying biochemical abnormalities of atopic dermatitis skin. Whereas ceramide-containing emollients, on the other hand, can normalize the lipid lamellar structure and ceramide composition in stratum corneum, and therefore, they provide beneficial effects to skin barrier function. After all, preventing and restoring skin barrier dysfunction are cornerstones of management of atopic dermatitis. So, what is the evidence on benefits of ceramide-containing moisturizers in atopic dermatitis? A Cochrane review on ceramide-based formulas showed that ceramide-containing moisturizers had clinically relevant and significant improvement in skin barrier function and hydration. The ceramide-containing moisturizers demonstrated increased hydration by 17 arbitrary points compared to the control moisturizer group, which is noted at 10 arbitrary points. Furthermore, exogenously applied ceramides may help to restore ceramide levels in the skin, and ceramide-containing emollients have been shown to normalize the lipid lamellar structure and ceramide composition in the stratum corneum. So, international consensus guidelines, they sort of help to guide us on prevention and symptomatic treatment of dry sensitive skin disorders such as atopic dermatitis. So the European Task Force on Atopic Dermatitis and the EADV Eczema Task Group, in the recommendation for baseline basic therapy, they included emollients, bath oils in the treatment of atopic dermatitis in children as well as adults. So what actually are the current practices that optimize the necessary baseline therapy? This involves soap substitutes or cleansers, bath oils, and emollients. I talked about ceramides earlier on about how important ceramides are in restoring skin barrier function. But are there other important ingredients besides ceramides that can contribute to an optimal integrated skincare routine for managing dry, sensitive skin conditions? So what is the recommendation for a cleansing routine for dry, sensitive skin conditions? Well, it involves bath oils. It forms an available part of skincare, especially in babies and children. So there's a short duration of the bath, only 5 minutes, followed by the use of bath oils, last 2 minutes of bathing. And this is aimed at avoiding epidermal dehydration. Neutral to low pH, hypoallergenic and fragrance-free non-soap cleansers are also recommended. So actually, those of you in the audience who are from Asia or Southeast Asia, like where I'm from, your patients may not be able to relate to baths and bath oils, because in Asia, many parts of Asia and in Southeast Asia, shower is actually what we use and not baths and bath oils. But nevertheless, the same principle applies. You can get your patients, if you don't have a bath, you can get your patients to use this soap substitute or soapless cleansers to shower with, but still limit to a short duration, not more than 5 minutes. And if feasible, you can still use bath oils. That is aimed at avoiding post-bath, post-shower dehydration. So it is still possible to use a shower using the same soap substitutes and bath oils. So the baseline daily management that we prescribe for our patient that involves using soapless cleansers, bath oils, and emollients, they actually aim to prevent dry skin, maintain the skin barrier, treat the eczematous dermatitis, reducing pruritus, and minimizing exposure to triggers. And this point about reducing pruritus, actually, I realize a lot of my patients are not aware that by going through this daily routine, it actually helps to reduce itch. And I think we just make it a point when we prescribe this kind of routine for our patients with, say, atopic dermatitis, we have to emphasize to them that actually this routine is treatment. It also helps to reduce itch. As I mentioned earlier, I'll ask the question, besides ceramides, are there other ingredients that can make use of to optimize this whole routine of cleansing and bath oils and emollients? There are anti-inflammatory agents nowadays that incorporate emollients, and they provide additional barrier repair and control of dry skin. And many of these ingredients are plant-based polyphenols, seed oils, and vitamins. And these include vitiferous seed oil, shea butter, vitamin E, almond oil, and glycerin. So Vitis vinifera seed oil is a great seed oil that has antioxidant and anti-proliferative properties, and shown to be one of the effective components of medical devices useful for topical atopic dermatitis treatment. Shea butter has significant anti-inflammatory effect, vitamin E has antioxidant effect, and almond oil has significant emollient properties and can reduce pruritus. Which means actually besides ceramides, there are emollients containing anti-inflammatory agents and antioxidants, and surely they provide additional benefits in barrier repair and overcoming oxidative stress implicated in atopic dermatitis pathogenesis. In other words, I consistently tell my patients, I'm going to prescribe you a treatment moisturizer, not just any moisturizers. I mean, if you call it a prescription emollient device, which I think patients will not understand, but what I tell them is that I'm prescribing you a repair moisturizer. And I think that's more acceptable to patients. In other words, they know they're not using an ordinary moisturizer, but moisturizers that besides ceramides contain other ingredients as well, such as anti-inflammatory agents, which I mentioned just now, and antioxidants. So what is an integrated skincare approach in managing dry, sensitive skin conditions? This is the next thing I'm going to discuss about, an integrated skincare approach. In this circle of integrated skincare for dry, sensitive skin, It consists of baseline care, which involves emollients, cleansers. Of course, there's treatment of inflammation and infection. And last but not least, managing oxidative stress. And I'm going to share with you three studies that illustrate the efficacy and safety of combination skincare products for dry, sensitive skin. The first up is Relizima Lipid Replenishing Cleanser. This is a non-randomized, single-arm, single-blind study of healthy children with dry and atopic skin. And there were no signs of reaction after use at day 14 and day 28. No reports of sensations of discomfort, and 100% of parents rated as favorable as early as day 3, and this was so throughout the whole study. So is the hydrating cleansing bath oil. Again, no reactions and no sensations of discomfort reported, and again, rated favorably by 100% of parents. And lastly is the moisturizer, and it's important to note this Relizima Ultra Hydrating Lotion used in these children with dry and atopic skin. There was a significant reduction in skin dryness shown in 85% of test subjects on day 14, and this progressed to 100% of subjects at day 28. In other words, it showed that it helps the dryness of the skin. So I've illustrated the components of integrated management of dry sensitive skin that consists of a soap substitute, a lipid replenishing cleanser, and the cleansing bath oil is to prevent post-bath dehydration, and of course, moisturizing with hydrating lotion. So these clinical studies that I've illustrated reported the efficacy and acceptability of cleansing bath oil, cleanser, a bath oil and lotion as a comprehensive skincare routine in management of atopic dermatitis among the pediatric age group. And I'm sure it applies to adults as well. And a regular daily skincare routine that's both effective and acceptable is likely to assure compliance and positive clinical outcome. And in my own practice, I find that whenever I inform my patients that I'm going to prescribe you a moisturizer, there's always a resistance. Often they will say, oh no, it's okay. I'll get it from the pharmacy. But if I tell them I'm prescribing you a treatment moisturizer for repair of the skin, and I think this is relevant because many patients in everyday practice, many patients, they exhibit steroid phobia. Whether it's the caregiver of the child with eczema or adult, they're always resistant, or large majority of them are resistant to using steroids. And usually before they indicate that their worries and their hesitancy in using steroids, I will tell them, well, I'm going to prescribe you a steroid cream for the eczema. And steroid cream can indeed thin the skin, but at the same time, I'm going to prescribe you a repair moisturizer. And then they are more receptive. So I think we have to make it a point to prescribe and tell them that we are prescribing a repair moisturizer. And of course, if we prescribe something, it must be validated scientifically to be effective. But just as important, it must be acceptable. And for someone like myself, practice in Southeast Asia in the tropics, it is sometimes challenging to prescribe a moisturizer that's acceptable in a humid environment. So we have to be sure that whatever we prescribe must not be just effective, but it must be acceptable. And then you can ensure compliance, which means with good compliance, you have a positive clinical outcome. So various compounds with constituents of plant oils may act additively or synergistically to promote skin hydration by various mechanisms, such as promoting skin barrier homeostasis, antioxidative activities, anti-inflammatory properties, upregulation of antimicrobial peptides, and promoting wound healing. So in conclusion, if we can combine ceramides with phytochemicals that possess anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, in a specially formulated skincare product. Surely this should provide a better barrier repair compared to using Ceramides alone. Thank you.